Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Welcome, children of the Most High God. Welcome to Kingdom of God Ministries. We have a wonderful program on tonight. We have a Sister Danielle Williams. She will be with us on tonight, giving her marvelous testimony of how God delivered her. We're going to have our Sister Montgomery to come on and open up with prayer, and she will introduce Sister Danielle Williams. Sister Montgomery, come on.
Amen. I just want to say, first of all, you know, we heard everyone, I hope, is praying for the people and the families that were affected by that tragedy in Colorado. And so that is one of the things we'll be lifting them up in prayer tonight. There's so much going on in the world, saints. We need to pray. And we need to intercede for the preachers, the pastors, people on the front line, because a lot of times people may feel like they don't have anyone to go to, and we need to be there for them. So basically, this is why God called us into the ministry, my husband and myself, because He had a work for us to do, to reach out to those that are hurting, to reach out to the poor, the needy, the hurting. And so that's what we do. You know, a lot of times, no, it's not glamorous, but we count it all joy because we're doing it as unto Jesus Christ. It's not about a title. It's not about patting myself on the back, but it's about Christ. And I never want to forget where Jesus and God bought me from. And so that's why I give back, and that's why I do it, you know. So, Father God, right now we just want to just give you the praise. We want to give you the honor, the glory. Lord God, we just thank you because you're so awesome. You're so worthy. We reverence your holy name. And, Lord, we just lift the families up that were involved in the tragedies that were affected by this Colorado shooting. And we lift the families up of the shooter, Lord God, because I know they're even affected by it also. Lord God, we know that you are sovereign. We know that, Lord, in this situation, you can touch and you can mend and you can heal the brokenhearted. So we lift these families up to you, Lord God. We ask that you touch our listening audience, those that are listening, those that are bound up, those that maybe struggling with some things. Lord God, we ask that you break those chains off them right now. Set them free, Father God. We ask that you give them peace in their mind. We come against every demonic spirit. We even bind the spirits that may try to come over the airways and try to interfere with this radio program on tonight. And Lord God, in all things, we will give you the praise. We will give you the honor. We will give you the glory in Jesus' name. Now, I would like to say we are very excited to have our special guest, Sister Danielle Williams. She wrote the book, From Porn to the Pulpit. And I tell you, I read the book, and I was just so, so moved by that book that I said, Lord, I got to reach out to her, and I hope, like my husband said, we have to get her on the program. Because I want to say to the church, too, a lot of times we go to church and we, as Christians, we're not aware of what's really going on. It's kind of like an ostrich in the sand, and we kind of keep our heads buried. But God is saying that there's hurting people. There's people that, if we don't be that one to reach out to them, they may not get delivered. So I thank the Lord for Sister Danielle that she would take time out of her busy schedule and she would come to our radio program. So I want you, if you have any call-in questions, please call in after the show. Before the show ends, we'll open the phone lines. We will open the phone lines for prayer if you feel you need deliverance from anything or you just want someone to pray with you. We're here. We're here. We don't come with a judgmental spirit, but we come with a loving God attitude. Now, with that being said, I want to introduce my special guest, Sister Danielle. Are you there, Danielle?
I am here.
Praise God. It's so good to have you. Like I said, I am just so honored that, you know, you was able to get on the show. I know we had scheduled you last month, but something came up, and we've been out of town for the last 2 weeks, so we're just getting back. But however, God is able, and I'm just so happy to have you. Now, like I was saying, I read the book, and I want to start from, I guess, the beginning. And I know from the very beginning, I want you to share with our audience your testimony and how you actually got, I guess, into that lifestyle, involved in that lifestyle. So I'm going to open it up and ask, you know, if I need to interject, I'll just come forth. But just start with how you started out in that pornography or prostitution.
Well, I always tell people whenever I speak that there are things that take place in people's lives that cause them to make certain decisions. Nobody just wakes up and says, hey, I'm going to be a porn star, or I'm going to be a drug dealer, or, you know, things like that. There's things that lead up to that. So before I became this porn star, stripper, prostitute, I was a little girl. I was a little girl who was molested at 8 years old by my babysitter son. A little girl who was almost beaten to death by my own father. a little girl at 12 years old who trusted her neighbor who ended up raping me when I was 12 years old. He was in his 40s, and an older man that I looked up to as a father figure. I even called him uncle, you know, and he raped me when I was 12. A year later, I met a guy who was way older than me, 27 years old, and he happened to be a pimp. And he was very manipulating, but the way he got my attention is he expressed interest in me. You know, he made me feel like I'd never felt before. And being young and naive and not having any clue at 13 years old, I'm being swayed by this 27-year-old pimp. And me and him became intimate, and I found myself getting pregnant by this man. I gave birth to our son, and unfortunately our son passed away. And at that moment, I was 13 years old. I was holding my son in my arms that had just died. And everything that I tried to suppress at 8 years old, being molested at 8, my father trying to kill me at 10, being raped by my neighbor, you know, not having that great relationship with my mother, you know, the spirit of rejection, everything. I tried to suppress all that and ignore it and just keep going. But at that moment when my son died, everything had surfaced, and I just became angry, and my feelings were uncontrollable, and I developed this I don't care attitude. I didn't care about what God had to say. I didn't care about what any type of authority had to say. I was just bitter and just, you know. I turned into a little monster at that time, and I had made up in my mind that I'm just going to do what I want to do. So I turned 14 years old. And at 14 years old, I made up in my mind that I don't want to stay home anymore. Me and my mom are not getting along, so I'm going to leave. And I ran away from home, and I got me a fake ID. And I started stripping in clubs. And I did that for about a year and realized that at 14 years old that lifestyle was not for me because I had already been raped again at 14 years old. And at that time, I said, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. So I moved home with my grandparents. Now I'm 15 years old. I got back in church. I got back in school. You know, I walked away from that lifestyle, and I tried to get myself together. While I was in church, I joined the choir, and I started singing, and I was on the usher team, and I was, you know, youth church, everything, very involved in church. Singing was like my main priority at that time. And while I was in that choir, I befriended a young lady who was 18, I was 15 at the time, and my choir member introduced me to prostitution. So I started prostituting with this young lady from my church, and not only did she introduce me to prostitution, but she introduced me to drugs. She introduced me to drugs as well. Cocaine and ecstasy were my drugs of choice. I didn't just do them. I started selling them. So from 15, 16, 17 years old, I was selling drugs, I was doing drugs, I was an alcoholic, I was a prostitute, and I was a stripper. When I turned 17, I met some young ladies who were in the porn industry, and one of the young ladies told me something that changed my whole life. She said, if you think you're making money now, you haven't seen anything yet. And she asked me, have I ever been interested in doing porn? And I said, absolutely not. Never. I saw it, you know, I had a few DVDs, I knew exactly what it was, but I never wanted to do it. But when she told me about the money and all that stuff, that's what caught my attention. So at 18 years old, I started doing porn. As a result of the porn industry and the dancing, I got a chance to travel a whole lot. I went everywhere you can think of. And when I turned 19, I ended up in New York. Long story short, I got with a man who, you know, basically told me, I'm going to kill you. You're not going to leave here. And he locked me up in his basement, and he beat me, and he raped me, and, like, he just really tortured me for weeks, telling me that I was going to die, I wasn't going to leave New York. That was it. And at that moment, although things had taken place before, during the course of the prostitution and the hustling and stuff like that, I had situations running into pimps and life and death situations, but this time was different. I knew that I was supposed to die. I knew that that man was going to take my life. There was no shadow of doubt that was in my mind. I knew that I wasn't going to leave New York. I was never going to see my family again. That man was going to kill me. But because I never left church, even though I was the biggest hypocrite and you know, I was the biggest demon sitting on the pews, I always stayed in church. So while I was locked up in that basement, something in me said pray, because he would leave me in the basement for hours, you know, for days and stuff, and just come back maybe once a day just to feed me or, you know, to have sex with me, and he would leave. So while he was gone, I started praying. And I said, Lord, I know I lied to you before, and I know I made broken promises before, but if you get me out of this situation, I'll change my life for you. Just don't let me die. I'll give it all up. You can have the money, the cars, the car. I don't want nothing. You saved me this time, and I'm done. A few days later, the guy's friend happened to come to the house looking for him, but he found me, you know, and I got out of that basement. Some other situations happened in New York, but I eventually got out of New York and made it back to California, to Los Angeles, where I live, and I never looked back. I ran to the first church I could find, and I allowed God to, you know, I sacrificed myself, you know what I'm saying? I felt like a bull on the altar, you know what I'm saying? I just laid out and just let him just kill everything.
Praise God.
And so I went through my healing. I went through my deliverance. Ministry was never on my agenda. That's something that I never, ever wanted to do or thought about doing or imagined myself doing. But as I grew spiritually, I was able to talk about my situation. I went to a church and a pastor, you know, asked certain people to come and tell their testimony. I went up there and I told my testimony, and I was just shocked by how many people related to it. Not if it wasn't in the pornography area, it was in the molestation area. If it wasn't in the molestation area, it was in the drug abuse. It was in the gangs. It was in the homosexuality. It was in, you know, the rejection, the everything that you could think of, not having their father in their life anymore. Everything that I touched on, somebody in that place related to it and identified with it, and it freed them. And at that moment, I said, okay, I got something going here. You know, my testimony is helping some people. So, you know, later on I got licensed and ordained, and then the book From Porn to the Pulpit came.
Amen. And I tell you, it's a great book, listening audience. You have to read the book, because it's so much in that book. It's a powerful testimony. And like you said, Danielle, everybody in some part of their life, if they wasn't molested, they know someone in their family was, or might have been some type of abuse. But that's why I could relate to the book, though, because my family, I had relatives that were either abused or sexually abused or battered by men. I had some relatives battered by men. So I could relate to a lot. I had people in my family selling drugs, so I could relate to that. That's why I say, Kingdom of God, we keep it real, because I'm not going around telling people that my life been so perfect. You know, I know where God brought me from. And so when I read the book, I say, I have to bring her on. And one thing you said the lady, one of the ladies in the church introduced you to that lifestyle?
Yes.
And she was in the church. Hey, tell me about that. That's what tripped me out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the biggest demons sit right in the pews, and some of them are in the pulpit. You know what I'm
all
saying?
Right.
So that shouldn't be too much of a shock, you know. But yes, this young lady, she was 18, I was 15, and we became really, really good friends. We sung together in the choir. That's where we met, in the choir. And I had expressed to her, you know, when you become close with some, you know, with people, you open up to them. And I had expressed to her that I had danced before. And so she told me, well, I danced too, you know. And so that conversation led to, well, have you ever prostituted before? And I said, no, I just danced and that was it, you know, but I left that lifestyle. And she said, well, you know, you can come stay with me and we can start dancing again, you know. It was like, you know, kind of like we She played the friend role. She played the, you know, I'm your friend and we can do this together. You don't have to be by yourself now. We can dance together. We'll have each other's back. But it wasn't about dancing. It was about the prostitution level, because I had never see a lot of people misinterpret that every stripper is a prostitute and every prostitute is a stripper, but that's not the case. There's some young ladies who don't sleep with men for money. They just dance and they leave, and that's what I had did. I had never slept with a man for money. I danced and I got on. But when I met her, she said, well, you know, you've done it for free. You're not a virgin, so you might as well get paid for it. And the way that she explained it to me, it was like, you know, I mean, the girl, it was so clever, and it was so, you know what I'm saying, it just sounded so good. You know, she sold me a dream. I fell for it, you know.
Let me ask you this,
Danielle. Now, was this particular lady, I heard you say that you all were singing in the choir together. Was this person just a choir member? Was she a lay member? Was she kind of up in the hierarchy of the church? Exactly who and what was she in that church body?
I can't remember. I know she was a member. We both grew up in that church. That's my parents' church. That was her mother's church, and so we grew up here. But we didn't become really close until we both joined the choir. I would see her during the youth functions and stuff like that. She would be there. You know, I just thought that she was just a, you know, regular young lady in the church. I've seen her since, since we were young. But we didn't form a friendship until we joined the choir.
I hear you. I understand. Okay. All right.
I wanted to read this, and remember, like she said, she came to her very, started out as a friend, you know, and that's how Satan does to get you lured in. And I was reading over here in Genesis, he said, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it. He said, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You see how Satan is? See how subtle he is? And that's how he lures. And the reason I want to bring that out, because a lot of times we have our children in church, and like you said, being naive, everybody that sits in the church may not necessarily be God sent, because like you said, the devil go to church too. So we need to inform our children. You know, we had an incident in Atlanta, and I'm not calling out names, but it was one of the head preachers supposedly or accusedly seduced some of these young boys. So he started out as a father figure, and from there it escalated. So what am I saying? We need to educate our children. And one thing else you said how she said the money. She lured you and said it's the money. You said, and a lot of times people is lured, like the, like saying the tree. She said we're not supposed to eat of the tree, but he lured her into that, and that's a deceptive trick of the enemy. He'll lure you in. He'll put it in front of you to lure you in, and I wanted to bring that out because a lot of times as Christians, we go to church, we sing in the choir, we do all that stuff, and Satan is sitting right there in the midst to deceive, and that is his job. He is the deceiver. Amen? So I wanted to bring that out. Amen.
Yeah.
So, okay, and so I want to just kind of take us back. So when you said that when you were in the basement and the guy was abusing you and abusing you, and you cried out to God, you know, because you knew your life was, I guess, you know, people say your life flashed before you, but you knew you was going to die. But because you had, as a young child, had went to church, I guess, with your grandmother and everything, even that seed then was planted in you. And I want to say this to the parents, because I had, sometimes my boys strayed away, but God blessed them to come back. But when we don't think we have planted that seed in them, something, it'll really spark that seed again, and that life will start again. And I remember my sons crying out to me when they got in a situation and God delivered them, but they remembered that teaching that we had put in them when they were young. So I wanted to take the audience back to that particular point, and I want you to share with us at that particular time. Did you feel alone when you cried out to God, or did you feel that when you cried out to Him that He was going to heal you and set you free? Because sometimes when people are so alone, and when my sons was, one of them was in prison, you know, sometimes they say, well, that was just a prayer to get you out of this situation. But how did you really know in your heart that you really meant what you were saying?
Because at that, the thing is, okay, the first thing you said, did I feel alone when I prayed, or did I think that he was going to, you know, get me out of that situation, or, you know, if it was going to fall on deaf ears? I really didn't know, because, like I said before, I had been in situations before where I had prayed. I even talked about that in the book, asking God, if you get me out of this, or if you don't let me, you know, catch this disease or something like, you know, bad happened to me, I'll stop. And then, you know, he got me out of that situation, or he protected me from a certain situation. And eventually I always went back, you know. And so this time, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And I think he knew that I was serious and I had a sincere heart. So with that being said, yeah, he was going to get me out, because he knew that, that was it for me. And the reason why it was it for me is because, like I said, that man was going to take it. He was going to take me out of here. And I had to just think about, how did you get in this situation? How did you allow yourself to get here? That lifestyle ain't even worth it. You know, the stuff that people glorify, and the people, you know, like if you're on dope, or if you're selling dope, or if you're going in and out of jail, if you're stripping, if you're doing it, people tend to act like it's all good, and they're, you know, they're flossing and they love that lifestyle, but it's not all that. You know what I'm saying? Sin is very, you know, can hurt. Sin can be very painful and put you through a lot of stuff. And the lifestyle, that lifestyle almost killed me. And I said, God, I don't want that no more. It's not even worth it. Me being locked up in this man's basement, about to lose my life, wasn't even worth the thing. You know what I'm saying? The money that I made, or the lifestyle, the things that came with that, none of that was worth it.
That's right. That's right. You're right. And even in when you know, like in the pornography, and a lot of times this is a subject they don't even talk about in church, because I think a lot of people is hooked up in it. You know, and like I said, and Sunday they put on their holy clothes, but lurking behind the scenes, they tapping into the internet on pornography, they looking at it. And so that's what I'm saying. You as a minister, you know, how do you go and, you know, I guess teach to people that are bound up with this spirit? It's really a spirit, but that's people don't want to address it in the church, but it's a spirit. So how would you you know, I guess present this and show people how they can be delivered from this spirit?
Well, the thing is, once I tell them the not-so-great part about it, they tend to have a different outlook about it. And see, some people, you have to realize, like you said, the first thing you said was the church does not talk about it because so many people are in it. If you don't address it, then I won't acknowledge that I have a problem. If you don't call that thing out and you don't put it in my face like this is wrong, then I would never think that I'm doing anything wrong. If nobody, when you come to church, you should be corrected in some type of way. So if you don't correct me in that area, I'm not going to try to fix it. Why fix something that's not broken? So when I come to the church and I talk about the dangers of pornography and what it can do to you spiritually and mentally and emotionally, even sexually, then it opens their eyes to a whole other outlook of it, because they never heard that before. And they're not hearing that from somebody who just studied the negative effects of pornography, but somebody who lived it. I'm not telling them what I read out of a book or studied in college. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you from my own experience. And so that it kind of works in my favor, because it's like, wow, she was there. You know what I'm saying? She knows what she's talking about, because she did that. I was in the industry for a year and 7 months. I did over 50 movies. You know, I was a stripper for 2 years. So it was like coming from that standpoint and sharing not just the good part. Yeah, I have money. Yeah, I was able to drive the nicest cars and live in the nice areas, but I was miserable. I was suicidal. I always had to look over my back. I was being stalked, you know. All these different things. My friends died. My friends caught HIV and AIDS and stuff like that. So it's like when you tell them that, it shows them a different side of it. It's not as glamorous as they as you know, Putin tries to put it out there.
And I noticed about the drug use when I read the book. So you started off what type of drugs did you start off? And you said in the book how it escalated and how you know that habit became, I guess, an expensive habit, you know.
Very.
So what, you were taking the drugs to, I guess, to ease the hurt inside, or what got you into the drugs anyway?
Well, the first thing is most people smoke weed. And for me, weed has never been something that I was interested in, never done nothing for me. But that's the first thing that you experiment in is the weed thing. And now I didn't like it. It didn't do anything for me. It just made me hungry and put me to sleep, you know. So I wasn't interested in that. I needed something that was going to take me out of my mind to be able to deal with what I was dealing with. Because I don't know if you remember when I wrote about the first instant, the first time we went and slept with somebody, I was with her. You know, it was right. Me and the girl from the church. She was always with me. And that first experience was horrible. That was the worst thing that I had ever experienced. And I wanted something that was so strong that I couldn't remember, you know what I'm saying, I had to put myself through. And so I knew that the drugs would do that. Weed started off, and that's not something that I wanted to do. So then the cocaine came in, and then I was like, okay, this will work for now, but I wanted something stronger. It wasn't lasting long enough for as many hours as I was working. I needed something that was going to carry me throughout the whole night. And so that's where the experiments will come in, as far as the marijuana, the cocaine, then it was the crystal meth, and then it was the ecstasy pills. Now, when I got to the ecstasy pills, that was the thing that pushed the button. You know what I'm saying? That was the thing that I guess I just connected to right away, and it became an addiction. It became an addiction. A very expensive addiction at that. You know, it wasn't free, and I had to have it every day because that's what I was prostituting every day. And every time, because I could never bring myself, most people that are on drugs they don't want to deal with the lifestyle that they're in. So they try they take this temporary high to try to escape their reality because they're not happy with themselves. So they'll poison themselves with alcohol or with drugs just so they don't think about what's really going on in their lifestyle. But at the end of the day, once that high wears off, you're still faced with reality. The problem is still there.
Mm-hmm. And like you say, even with the ecstasy and all that, but we have people in the church taking the Valium and things like that. You know, it's like you say, they don't want to deal with the high. So after you got your deliverance, and I see, you know, because we're deliverance ministries too, and we don't just make our ministry off deliverance, but that should be part of every ministry. There should be deliverance because Jesus' salvation means deliverance. But when you became born again, delivered, set free, I hear, you know, like a lot of times, like we had a young man called us and he said he was bound up with drugs and alcohol. And, you know, we led him through the sinner's prayer and everything like that. But he was saying that he just couldn't break that spirit. What would you say to people who say, well, okay, I got saved, but I still can't let the pornography go, or I still can't let the drugs go? What would you say to them?
You know, that doesn't work for me, the I can't thing, because you can do anything. That doesn't work, because all the stuff that I was bound in, even people, some people say you can't ever get delivered from homosexuality. That's not true. I even wrote about that. You know, some people say I can't get delivered from this and that. That's what the enemy wants you to believe. He whispers lying vanities in your ear, and you start to believe, I can't do this. You understand what I'm saying? But God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for him. And when you really want to get out of something, you'll do whatever it takes to get out of it. And when people say that I can't do it, it's because they don't want to necessarily be delivered from that. If I really, when I was in that basement, you couldn't tell me nothing about no drugs, porn, alcohol, nothing. When I came home, I didn't want none of that. I wanted to be changed. It wasn't hard. Now, I would accept, I tried, and it's so hard. I need other ways to, you know, I need some type of strength. I need something to help me to not do it. But just to say I can't do it, I don't listen to that. I don't listen to that. If you want to do it, you can do anything you want to.
Let me ask you this, Sister Williams. Now, I heard what you said. Now, when it took something more than what you can do, I do feel that God, he did come in and strengthen you and help you. I believe that. That's why we can say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens us.
Absolutely.
The Lord is our strength. So just like you said, it's not a matter of can't do, because in Christ you can do, in reference to the things that you couldn't do in the flesh. Now, what you said before, now, going, I listened to your testimony, and going all through, you were doing things that were fleshly. And those fleshly things almost killed you. But when you called out to God, and then the things of the Spirit came in, and God came in, and he came in and he touched your life, then you had a overpowering strength in God. So therefore, you could really come through, and God pulled you through that.
Right.
I'll say this. Now, I'll ask you this question. I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Okay.
If you had not called on God, do you think you'd be here now? If you had not called on God in your infirmity, where do you think you would be right now?
Like I said, I knew that guy was going to kill me. That was it. That was
all
it.
Right.
So I was going to be dead, period. He was going to kill
right.
me. It had to take God himself to get me out of that situation.
All right.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God.
I want to bring that.
Go ahead. When people say that they can't do something, it bothers me because nobody, I don't think nobody was locked in sin as much as I was. You know what I'm saying? I had no plans on getting out. I was going to die a porn when I got too old to do porn, I was going to marry me a rich old man and still be hustling. You know what I'm saying? I never, ever plan to stop doing what I was doing. So I was deep in it with no plans on getting out, and I was able to get out of it. So for people to say, and I know more than half of the world has never done half of the things that I've done, and if I was able to stop and to really get out of it, not just on God alone, but even with my strength, because faith without works is dead. You can pray and pray and pray, and God help me, but you have to play your part too. So I played my part, and I allowed God to do his thing, and I was able to get out. So when people say, I can't, that doesn't make any sense to me.
All right.
That's right. And that's true, because this is what we need to be sharing with the church today. You can do all things, like Brother Bobby said, through Christ who strengthens you. But it's how bad do you want to get out of it?
Exactly.
You know? I was reading here over in Galatians, it say, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He said, now the works of the flesh are evident, and he go on to say, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is what Paul is saying to the church. You see what I'm saying? Because if we say we are born of the Spirit, you know, we have the new birth, Christ Jesus, then we shouldn't be walking the way we were walking when we were of the world.
That's right.
There should be some kind of difference in our lifestyle. Just like you said, you couldn't continue to do the porn and all this stuff, and you're saying you're following Christ Jesus. God was convicting your heart right then. He said, no,
amen.
I want all of you. I want you all. So how people say, well, I just can't let it go. Like you said, they don't want to let it go.
Exactly.
They really don't want to let it go. That's the bottom line. So they can't lean on God, because God, like you said, if he set you free, he could set anybody free. So don't try to say God is weak. It's just you don't want to let it go.
Right.
That's so true.
Right. Amen. Yeah. So I just want to, let people know that God is a loving God. God, he don't want to see anyone bound up. And I hate that, like the young man that went and shot up all them people in the movie theater. See, people give themselves over to those demonic spirits. And, you know, and I said at some point in his life, you know, it's like, okay, how much of the enemy do you want to come in you to do something like this and kill up innocent people? You know what I mean? So we have a work to do as preachers of the gospel. We got to cry loud, spare not. I know it's not popular to preach holiness. You know, that a lot of times they want these feel-good messages. They want you to just tell me how to get a lot of money. But my soul would be damned. Just show me how to get the money. You know, this is what the world teaches. We need to be showing you how to get close to Jesus Christ. You
see what I'm saying? Yeah, that's true. Sister Williams, there was something. Hello? Sister Williams, there were some things I was listening to as you all were going forth, and my mind went back to how you say you got started, but into all this stuff. And I heard you say that the lady mentioned the money that could be made. And I did hear you say also that money that you were getting lost its luster. In other words, there was so much evil happening around you and to you that although that you were making all that money, and you were making more money than many people make, you know, in a lifetime or whatever, but you said it come to a place in your life that money didn't really matter. Even though you were making the money, it didn't matter. And it made me think about what the Lord said in Matthew 6:24, where he said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I was thinking about that, but that's the lure. That's the main lure that the enemy uses to catch people. And he uses it even in the body of Christ, even in pastors and ministers and people that say they are going on with the Lord. The enemy will come in and do that same lure and hook that he used on you. And if you have some kind of inclination toward that mammon or that money, then you'll find yourself straying away from the Lord. And that's very dangerous. But with you, it was the opposite. He just brought it straight to you with the money. You took it, and, you know, the enemy, you know, he started working on you in a negative way, and God brought you back through a whole lot of affliction and pain. But the Lord brought you back. So we find that you can't have a likeness or an affection for money or worldly things.
Right.
I just wanted to bring that out a little bit. But man, you are really blessing our souls on tonight. And Danielle, you just keep on going on, keep on keeping on with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to bring that out because now in this day and age, look like we have a lot of leaders that are so stuck on money,
materialism,
cars, houses, you know, looking like the world, acting like the world, and as Sister Montgomery said earlier, holiness and living righteously and being an example of the Lord Jesus Christ is somehow lost. It's lost. People are not even looking at that anymore.
They don't want to hear about it. Yeah.
No, they want to, like you said, feel good message. Don't talk about, you know, see it, because I ain't coming back to your church. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, I'd rather have one member at my church than 1,000 members that's going to hell, you know, because at the end of the day, the pastor is held accountable for the sheep. And God, when we all stand before him and he said, well, why did you deceive my people? Because some people, you're the only Bible that some people will ever see. Some people will never pick up their Bible. They would never listen to a gospel song or a sermon. When they come to church, all they're doing is depending on what you have to say. And so if you never tell them about correction, how they can get themselves ready for the kingdom of God, then you're held accountable for that. What profits a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So if you get the house and the cars, but you're on your way to hell, it really means nothing.
That's right. You said it.
And you're so right. And you remember Paul, he said he worked by day and by night. He didn't want to assess the people of God where he was a tent maker. So by day, he preached the gospel, and then he made tents. So the preachers nowadays, I mean, you can't hardly cut on TV without all they talk about is junk, stuff, junk, more money, more stuff. And, you know, you get to the point and say, look, come on now, how much stuff do you need? You know, this is kind of getting old. You see people bound up, burdened down, being oppressed, oppressed, depressed, possessed, and all you're telling me you can talk about is money?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break.
That's
you
right.
know? I'm praying. I'm asking God to open the children of God's eyes, and I pray to God that they start leaving some of this junk. Some of it is ain't nothing but junk. Some of it I can't even stand to look at. I'm telling you the truth. So
that's right.
That's why, like I said, it's kind of like Elijah's spirit in the last days, you know, when he went up against Jezebel. And when you're going up against this spirit of Jezebel in the land today, in Revelation, he said you have allowed that, she called herself a prophetess. And it's the same spirit today. And they do try to go against the men and women of God that's standing up for the truth. But, you know, God is my provider, and God's going to provide for us. I have never went a day hungry. I've always had a roof over my head. And God will provide. So, I don't care what they say. We're going to tell the truth, and we're going to speak the truth.
Right.
So I would like to, if we have callers listening and you want to call in, we can open the lines, and, you know, for prayer and anything that you have questions for Danielle, feel free to call in. Hun, could you give out the number so they can call in?
Yes, I can.
All right.
That number is 1-323-375-0849. Our call in number is 1-323-375-0849. When you call in, I'll acknowledge you by announcing the last four digits of your phone number, or I can put you in chat and acknowledge you that way. Sister Williams, I wanted to ask you a question. Now, I know you've been through a whole lot of stuff, and the enemy thought he had you. Yeah, he thought he had you. What I want to ask you is, I know God set you free.
Okay.
But what I would like to know is, how did he? Did you have to go to a pastor or a preacher? Did you, you know, have somebody to pray some spirits out of you or something like that? Exactly how did God do it? Or I know you have some people praying for you, but did someone lay hands on you? Did somebody try to pray some evil spirits off you or out of you? Exactly what happened? And the reason I'm asking this question like this is it's a lot of people out there who do have foul spirits, and you know, they go to people to get these things prayed out of them, off of them, or whatever. But I'd like to know, how exactly did God, you know, set you free? Did you have to go to somebody? Did God come in and just do it off your faith? Exactly what happened for your deliverance?
Well, I went through all that, the hand laying, the demons coming out. I went to a deliverance church, the church that I found when I left the industry, and I happened to go to a deliverance church. And as soon as I walked in there, the pastor just, he just called me up and he read me, honey. He read my mail, and he just, you know, he started calling them things out, and I was just like, oh my God. I mean, at that church, I saw some things that, you know, I don't care what nobody say. From the time we grow up until we mature spiritually, there are some questions that you might have in your walk. Some people might not believe in deliverance. Some people might think speaking in tongues is this thing, or running around the churches this way, or whatever. Until it happens to you or you see it for yourself, you will always have a question in the back of your mind. So I never saw deliverance because I grew up in a Baptist church. I never really saw deliverance. I never really saw the speaking in tongues and stuff like that. So when I got to this church, it was all that. It was, I mean, people running up the walls and, you know, falling out and jerking and everything else. And I'm like, what in the world? You know, but then when it happened to me and I really had an outer body experience and saw things come out of me and felt them leave my body. You know, he would call the thing the perverted spirit, the spirit of molestation, that the anger and bitterness, unforgiveness, I mean, soul ties, everything. He started, you know, generational curses and everything. He just started calling out a lot of things. And, I went through that. I definitely went through that. And it was painful. That deliverance was very painful. It was like I saw God rip the layers off of me, you know. And I think it was very necessary. I think a lot, because a lot of people are saved, but they're not delivered.
Ah. Amen. Say that.
Amen. Praise God.
You're
praise
so
God.
And you're so right, because like you said, they may go through the sinner's prayer, but it stops right there. They still need to be delivered from some demonic spirits. And if you're not, like I said, deliverance should be part of the ministry. I don't know how you can sit and have all these thousands of people in your church and you don't have deliverance. What is that about?
That's right.
It just baffles me, because we all have, I was saved years, but I remember a point in my life where I had to get delivered from a spirit of worry, depression.
That spirit
would just come on me so strong. And I knew it was not the Spirit of God, because I would feel it was just so dark. It was a depressing, dark spirit. And it would come over me. And I remember one day I would get so depressed, and I'm talking, I was a born-again Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I would be going by the graveyard wishing I was dead. That's how heavy depression would get on me.
Yes.
And I remember one day on the foot of my bed, bowing down on my knees, and the Lord told me, he said, you cry out to me, and I will deliver you from this demonic spirit of depression.
Mm.
And I remember crying out to God. I said, God,
yes, Lord,
I don't want this spirit on me anymore. Take it.
Amen.
And he immediately lifted that spirit off me. And I'm telling you, I haven't had that dark spirit weighing me down. It was so hard. I was so depressed. I couldn't even hardly raise my hands in the sanctuary. I couldn't even hardly praise God, because I had went through a traumatic experience, you know, some series of things that triggered it. And rather than me giving it to God, I held on to it. And so when God told me to release it, he said, call on me and I'll set you free right now. I went through self-deliverance. And I cried out to God. He broke that spirit of depression off of me. And now I can even tell when it starts trying to come up on me, I put on some praise music, or I just start praising God. I said, because you're not coming back here. I don't want you no more.
That's right.
So this is what people, when God deliver you from something, like he said, that spirit goes out of that person. And he searches, looking around, and he said, I believe I'll go back to my house. He already don't claim you as his house. But you have to tell him, no, you ain't coming back here. You ain't coming back here. You see? I just wanted to bring that out. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Do we have any callers?
The number is 1-323-375-0849. That's 1-323-375-0849. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see Sister Williams, and all of us here, we realize that we might be going through different things, and the enemy, he will attack you. He's not just, you know, sitting out there just sitting on his hands. He will attack you, but we have to also remember that greater is he that is in us, meaning Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, than the devil that's out there. But we have to realize that there are times that we are going to have to exercise our faith in God, in Christ, in the Spirit of God. And we have to call on him, and when we call on him, the scripture says he will answer, and he does answer. And when he answers, the enemy has to go. And the reason the enemy has to go is because the devil is inferior to anything of God. He's inferior to God. He's inferior to Christ. He's inferior to the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, to God, he'll just, I mean, the devil, he can't even deal with God's angels. He can't deal with Michael. Michael was the one who threw him out of heaven. God didn't throw him out of heaven. Jesus didn't throw him out of heaven. The Lord God said, okay, Michael, go ahead on and handle Lucifer. And Michael handled Lucifer.
We just want the listening audience to know you're not in this battle by yourself. The minute you stop trying to fight on your own and give it to God, God said he'll fight your battle for you, but you got to give it to him. Stop trying to do it on your own. Let the Lord do it.
Do it on your own.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You can't do it on your own, and a lot of people say that, you know, when they say, I'll come to church when I get myself together. You'll never come to church because you're never going to get yourself together.
That's right.
Nobody
can really take a dramatic change from sin to being saved without God's help. You can't do it on your own.
No.
That's right. And that's what it's all about. And that's why we teach. That's why we get on the radio. That's why we preach the word of God, just to let people know, hey, God loves you. God do not want to see you bound up. He wants to see you set free. So, you know, are you going to be having any other speaking engagements in the near future, Danielle? Because, my desire is to get you here to Atlanta.
I love Atlanta. Yes, I have a lot of things coming up. I don't have them in front of me. My assistant normally takes the book and stuff. She just calls me and tells me to pack a bag and go to the airport. So, so I don't have anything in front of me now, but there are some things coming up. I'm not even going to lie and say I'll be here on this day because I don't even know at this time.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a few things coming up. I know that I'll be in Connecticut in about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Virginia sometime in mid-August. I know I'm coming to Georgia in September. Is it Fitzgerald, Georgia?
That might be a little south from Atlanta. I think it's south from Atlanta. But if you are going to be there, I probably would just drive there to meet you. And then maybe we could get you back, maybe do. Because my heart goes out because I see a lot of young girls. And you know Atlanta is good. If you go down on Stewart, well, they used to call it Stewart Avenue, but they got them as young as 10 on the corner. They had a bus about 2 months ago where they busted a lot of them in. They were young as 10 years old.
Wow.
They had a big bust. And so this is why we have to educate our young girls because, like you said, a smooth talker, he'll talk smooth to you to get you lured out there and you get caught up, you know. And that's what I tell them. You know, I say everything that shine ain't gold.
That's right.
You got to be, because I would love to get you back and just have you to just, we could try to get you back when the kids start school. I would like to have a big thing where the kids can just come and you can just share your testimony with them. And like you said, it's not just for the young girls. It's for the young boys, too, because they'd be out there selling drugs and some everything else, camping and prostituting, too. So it's not just for girls. All of them.
Old ones, too.
You're so right about that. It's the old ones too. So with that, if we don't have any calls, we can let you close us out in prayer. And what I'll do is just stay in contact so we can get you here to Atlanta. And then when you're in Fitzgerald, we'll come in wherever you at, and we can kind of work on getting you back here. Okay?
No problem.
Okay. Well, all right. If you don't mind, okay, you just close us out in prayer. Okay.
Okay. What's the name of your
Kingdom of God Ministries.
Kingdom of God Ministries. Okay. Father God, we just thank you for yet another day, Lord, thanking you for all the blessings that we have received, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I just pray that you would just release a blessing on Kingdom God Ministries. I pray that you bless the man and woman of God even now, Father God, for their obedience, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you cover their ministry, that you will bring more and more people to their ministry, bring the finances to the ministry, but most of all, bring the souls to the ministry, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray for the ones that were listening, that didn't call in, people that are battling with pornography or masturbation, rape, molestation, drug abuse, anything, Father God. I just lift them up to you right now, Father God, and ask that you would just deliver them, set them free, and heal them even now in the name of Jesus. Even if they didn't call, but they felt the Holy Spirit tugging at their spirit, and they felt something by listening in to the show, Lord, I just pray that you would use this opportunity to speak to their hearts, speak to their minds and their souls, Father God, even now. I decree and declare that those who are loose will be, those who are bound will be loosed in the name of Jesus. Those who need to be made free will be free, will be set free in the name of Jesus. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, we just thank you for freedom right now. We thank you for liberty, Lord, that you have broken the yokes of bondage and chains and the things that once had us enslaved to the enemy and to sin. We just thank you for freedom even now, Lord. And I just ask that you give strength to the pastors, give strength to the lay members, give strength to the deacons and the ushers and the choir members even now, so that when the enemy tries to come and tempt them to fall back, you will give them the strength to continue to fight the good fight of faith. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.
In
Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus'
well,
name. Amen.
It's been a blessing to have you, and we'll stay in contact to get you back here to Atlanta, okay?
Absolutely.
Amen.
All right. Be blessed, Danielle. All righty. All right.
Be blessed.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.